The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Could consumers finally be getting some good news when it comes to the high price of energy, with a supplier, Flowgas, offering fixed energy deals to its customers? So will that kind of deal actually save you money? Is it indicative of lowering bills after gas prices have fallen recently? So to get insights, I'm joined now by Senior Research Officer with the Economic and Social Research Institute, Niall Farrell, and by Personal Finance Editor with the Irish Independent, Charlie Weston. Good morning and welcome to you both. Charlie, we'll start with you. Just to outline the news, I presume it's good news from Flowgas.
It's good news, Pat. Now, it's not a price cut. That's what we really, really want to see. But I suppose it's the next best thing. It's a player in the market that offers electricity, gas and dual fuel, offering to sell you those fuels at a fixed price for a year. So, you know, we haven't had a fixed price in this market for about 3 years. We've had savage levels of price increases, something like 61 different price and rise announcements in the past year and a half. You know, I had to kind of check myself and go back and double check. I was just looking at Electric Ireland's price rises last year alone. They had 3. Electric Ireland, as we know, Pat, is the largest supplier to households of electricity. It's about 1.1 million customers. One of their price rises, just one of them, was 38%. 38%. One of their gas rises was 47%. So, you know, the market has been all over the place. It's been very volatile. You know, we've had wholesale prices going up by 1,000% at one stage. Now, they've come back a fair bit to pre-invasion levels, before the Russians went into Ukraine. But still, they're very high and they're still very volatile. And these energy companies tend to buy, their wholesale gas forward. You know, they hedge. So they buy, they have a contract for a year to a year and a half. So this maybe is a sign, we're hoping anyway, that things have settled down a bit and some of that volatility might be gone out of the market. Yeah. It's a fixed rate for a year. It's also pretty competitive rates as well. I mean, they're among the cheapest in the market, what Flowgas are offering here. Plus, they're giving you a sign-up kind of cashback thing of 150 if you sign up for electricity, 150 for gas, 300 if you sign up for boat fuel. So, you know, hopefully that puts a bit of pressure on the others. We saw little gestures from Electric Ireland. They gave a 50 euro credit at the start of the year, said that they'd absorb, you know, they wouldn't make any profit on their residential supply side. And that came out after SSE Energia said they were going to forgo profits on their residential supply business. So look, these are little things, and you just hope maybe we're out of the woods in terms of the worst of the price rises that have been just crazy and very difficult for households.
So, but here's the issue. If you kind of, a bit like a mortgage, you go with your fixed rate or your variable rate. Now, suppose you're with an existing supplier and they have, all of them in their contracts have this thing where they can unilaterally put up the price. So you sign up, you get a deal and it's X per kilowatt hour, and then suddenly they unilaterally raise their prices. Are they likely to unilaterally drop their prices as the international markets reflect a lower wholesale price, or are they going to get greedy and hang on to those gains and you might be better fixing?
Who could tell, Pat? I mean, it's a difficult one. And this is the risk you would take by signing up for a fixed rate. At least with a fixed rate, just as with your mortgage, with this fixed rate energy deal, you will know every 2 months what your bill is going to be with certainty for a year. So you can budget around that. Now, if the prices do drop, you do lose out. But you could always get out of the contract. It'll only cost you 50 euros. I know 50 euros is 50 euros, but it's not prohibitive. And if we were lucky enough to see a situation where somebody else started cutting prices, which is probably, I don't know whether we'll see that, because, you know, the cynic in me comes out here. I mean, I was particularly disappointed last year when a lot of the energy companies, the big players, put up their standing charges as well as their unit rates. You know, the big players like Bord Gáis and Electric Ireland put up the standing charges, and you're saying to yourself, hold on a minute here, your wholesale unit costs have gone up. Why are you putting up the standing charge?
Yeah,
are you playing on the uncertainty here?
That seemed to me to be sharp practice. The standing charge for whatever their costs are, you know, of supplying a network or whatever it is, it's a standing charge. I can't see any reason why that should change. No reason.
You know, you're right. And I was on to the regulator about it, and the regulator says they have no role in pricing. But it did, you're right, Pat, it did seem like sharp practice. It seemed very unfair. Now, the argument they came back with it was fluffy and nonsense, but seemed to boil down to the fact that if they didn't also put up the standing charges, the unit rates would have had to gone up even more because they were dealing with it.
The standing charge different. Will stay up irrespective.
It would stay up.
Yeah, that's sharp practice.
It is sharp practice. And at least with this fixed rate deal, they're also committing to not increase the standing charge. You know, we created a fuss about that standing charge increases in the Independent, and they seem to have moved away from it. Every press release now where there's a price rise, they're saying, we're not increasing the standing charge. But you're absolutely right, Pat. They seem to be using the opportunity of a kind of crazy, dysfunctional wholesale gas market as a reason to increase the standing charges when there was no proper justification for it.
Now, I won't hold you to this, Charlie, but I'll ask you, would you jump for the Flowgas offer or will you take your chances?
I like the certainty, Pat. I mean, I'm that kind of person who I hate opening the bill every 2 months and wondering, oh my God, where is it at now? You know, so I like the fact that the unit rate won't change, but, you know, obviously your usage will change and that will determine what you pay. But at least you're going to know, if things turn bad again and, you know, there's more disruption and wholesale prices go up again, at least you know your unit price, your standing charge won't change. I personally like that certainty, Pat.
All right, Charlie, thank you very much for joining us. Charlie Weston, Personal Finance Editor with the Irish Independent. Niall Farrell, Senior Research Officer with the SRI. Niall, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Can you help us make sense of the gas wholesale market, the war in Ukraine, Putin's pipelines, and what's happening in a market, and indeed demand, and how we might satisfy demand if we can't replenish the gas reservoirs in Germany during the summer using his pipelines?
Sure. I think it's important to clarify for listeners that there can be a bit of confusion when it comes to prices. Now, there isn't just one price when it comes to gas on international markets. It can be best divided into maybe short-term and long-term. And in the short-term, we have spot prices. And that reflects short-term changes in supply and demand. And a good example of that would be over the winter. Thankfully, in Europe, we got enough gas on board that we were able to get through the winter okay. And that meant that maybe we had a bit too much and the price came down a little bit. But that reflected trying to just clear things in the shorter term. That has less influence when it comes to our electricity bills in the longer term. And that's more influenced by the futures market. And those futures markets are determined by long-term trends. So while we might have seen short-term fluctuations in the spot market, that doesn't necessarily translate into our electricity prices unless that translates into changes in the futures market. So what influences the futures market? It's essentially long-term trends. So, for example, the Ukrainian conflict, if something got a bit more, some unexpected happening happened there, that could lead to maybe further pressure on prices. How well Europe are dealing with sourcing alternative sources, that also feeds into the expectation of the market and then the prices, and then eventually our electricity bills. And really the ultimate determinant is how are we going to get alternative sources of energy? And that really is the key determinant in terms of our long-term trajectory of the cost of wholesale gas and therefore electricity, and then what our bills are going to look like. And really what the determining point there is that it takes time to build infrastructure. And that's on the scale of maybe a couple of years at the very least. And in that intervening period, we're reliant on LNG and other sort of expensive sources of energy. And when we're reliant on an expensive source of energy, that sort of puts at least a minimum price in terms of what we're expected to pay over the next few years. So in the terms of what one would expect to happen over the next few years is that we're going to see elevated prices. Somewhere around what we've been seeing. Now, there is some sort of good news in the sense that there's an expectation that European officials are getting on top of the situation and there's a lot less uncertainty than there was. So we might see some sort of tempering of the prices, but they are going to remain elevated given what we know at the moment.
Now, what is the likelihood that Germany, using LNG, will be able to replenish its reserves and get through next winter? Because, you know, some of the reading I've been doing suggests that Putin is playing a long game on gas and is determined, you know, this winter was a very mild winter, as we know. There were unseasonal warm temperatures in Ukraine. We saw the ski slopes in Europe without snow. So the consumption of gas was not as expected. But Putin's gambling that he won't get 2 years in a row like this. So next winter, he'll turn the screws on Europe using gas as a weapon.
Yeah, so I think one thing we were lucky, definitely, that we had a mild winter that helped us a lot in countries like Germany. There was sufficient supply and storage to get us through that period. I think the job between now and going forward is to minimize our exposure to reliance on that gas, and also to try and find alternative sources, and then to make sure we have the supply in place going forward. I suppose the real thing when it comes to the prices is that if they go down below a certain threshold, we might see things like in Germany, more industrial production kicking up to take advantage of these lower prices. And also we might see the fact that we are reliant on LNG means that we have, it is a minimum sort of price that we're going to expect in the future. So the key determinant for me going forward is how much energy at a European level is being consumed, and that will be a real primary driver when it comes to prices. Mm.
Do we know what's happening in terms of traditional fuels like coal? I mean, there's an abundance of coal in Europe. Poland was a huge supplier of coal to Ireland at one point. I mean, are people going back to coal because needs must? Is there a renewal of interest in nuclear going forward?
Well, definitely. If the price of gas goes up, well, there will be a shift towards alternative sources. One issue I think that happened during the last few months was that we had, because we have less reliance on gas, it just makes things that, or we have less sort of gas to draw on, we have less of a buffer at a European level. And if something comes into, some other problem happens, well, then it leaves us more exposed. So, for example, in France, there was a situation where perhaps there was uncertainty around some nuclear generation there. And because we were tighter on the gas front, that means that when something like that happens, it makes things a lot more risky. Mm. So I think until we find these alternative sources, any sort of risks like that, if they come into play, they're going to need a lot more planning and a lot more effort to try and overcome.
Now, if you look at this global gas market, Putin, if he's going to be locked out ultimately of the European market, which was his biggest customer, he's going to sell it somewhere else, but he's going to have to sell it cheap. That presumably will bring down the global price of gas, even though Putin might not want that. If he doesn't have Europe as a customer, he's going to sell it to China. They're going to drive a hard bargain. But that has got to impact on the global price of gas.
Yeah. So if you think through the economics of it there, and your rationale makes a lot of sense. If we're in Europe, as a European continent, we're buying a lot of LNG at the moment, and we're competing with other markets to do that. Now, if those markets are able to source gas from Russia, that means that there's less competition for the LNG that we're purchasing, and that could have put down pressure on those prices. So that's a very fair point. Absolutely.
All right, Niall, thank you very much for joining us. And Niall Farrell, Senior Research Officer with the ESRI.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.